Hey, you! Here's one of our favorite episodes of The New Day, Feel the Power. Check out the rest on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Live from a Zoom call from Atlanta, Georgia, Lando Lakes, Florida, and Valentine, Nebraska, it's The New Day, Feel the Power, with you guys, The New Day.
I am Xavier Woods.
I am Biggie. I just wanted to thank Lightskin Dan for jumping in there.
Wait, Lightskin?
Yeah. His skin is light, is it not?
It's true, but I'm... Oh, all right.
Yes. Why are you trying to fight me on this?
Okay.
Do my eyes deceive me? Does he have a bunch of melanin? Am I colorblind?
I thought that light skin was more reserved for a term for someone who like has melanin, but like just as like some slim cases of it. So they're lighter as yeah, where Dan typically. Is white. So I was just confused. I didn't know. It's like, oh, is Dan?
Typically.
I mean, I'll take it over Doo-Doo Dan.
Well, I was going to bring it back to Doo-Doo Dan, you know? That's his real moniker.
Yes, it is.
Light skin Dan works too.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Anyways.
Nothing's wrong. I was just making sure that I understood the full use of the term, but if we're using it like that, okay, cool, let's go.
I used it incorrectly, I suppose.
And I am Kofi Kingston. I'm sorry, were you... You have more to say? Or I thought... I don't know.
I bet those four people on Twitter are screaming for that weird intro now.
You said, am I Big E? You said that before, didn't you?
We knew what was going on.
No, I didn't.
We all loose and willy-nilly with the intro. That's what's going to happen.
Look here, I'm gonna get mine.
I thought you had gone.
Y'all keep talking all you want, but I'm eventually gonna get mine.
No, you know, he's not done talking until he gets his 40-minute intro, so we'll let him go.
It might take me 5 minutes, 3 minutes, as long as y'all want to talk, but eventually I'll get mine. And that's really the story of my time in WWE. I'm gonna stick around until I get mine.
I'm gonna get mine.
Might take me a decade, might take me 15 years. But one day I'm going to catch y'all slipping and I'm going to get what I'm owed, sucker.
You better believe I'm going to get mine.
Right. And I'm going to haunt, if until the end of my life, I'm going to haunt y'all. I'm going to find a way to get mine. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm focused on.
What is getting yours into?
What is yours?
See, it's open-ended. It's what you want it to be. Sometimes getting yours is money. Sometimes getting yours means respect and adoration. Sometimes it means people lining up across the street from you when they see you.
Okay.
And taking their hand and making it so straight that it's curved. And placing it on their forehead. Wide-eyed. I added the wide-eyed too. They got to be wide-eyed. Yeah. I want their eyes as wide as possible.
All of a sudden they're in wonder.
Yes. So they can drink me in. So they can take in all of me as much as possible. Yeah. This is how I want them. I want them stiff, standing straight as possible. And I want that hand so straight that it's curved. And I want them all to salute me. And that is getting mine. That's what getting mine means to me. I'm Big E, and that's what it means to me. Getting my respect, getting my paper, getting my cheese, getting my guap, getting my adoration, getting my love, getting my flowers. What else do I want to get out of
cheddar,
the salutes?
Cheddar, you want the cheddar?
The salutes?
Yeah, I want salutes. I got a whole list of demands. Don't worry. I'll be coming up with them.
I'm just really enjoying, I'm Big E, and I'm going to get mine.
It's a t-shirt.
You better believe it.
I'm Big E, on the back, and I'm going to get mine.
And I'm going to get mine.
This isn't just for me, by the way, either. This is for everybody. I want everybody to get yours. Get what's owed to you. It's not just about me. Don't act like I'm being the selfish one here. This is for all you people, little and small, the boys and the girls, the mamas and the papas, the churins, the babies, all of y'all. Make sure you don't leave this earth without getting yours. Make sure you don't leave your job without getting yours. Make sure you don't leave your household without getting yours. Sometimes you got to get yours in your household. You know what I mean? People back talking you better get yours. People sassing you up in your dwelling, you better get yours. That's why I live alone, because ain't nobody going to sass me in my house.
Who's sassing them?
He said, I stay getting mine because I
make sure there ain't no one here to sass me. That's all. I make sure. And if they were here, I got them out. You sass me, get out, because I'm getting mine. I'm getting mine.
Matter of fact, you know what? Go ahead, close the door, because I'm about to get mine.
Right. What? Hey, don't make it weird. That was
weird. You made it weird by shining a light on it.
Ooh. But in 2021, that's the motto for 2021. We got to get mine. I got to get mine in 2021. And you too at home, you got to get yours.
Repeat you after me. Yours for the low price. 2020 of 1999.
Repeat after me. In 2021, I'm going to get mine. Say it with me now one more time. I'm going to get mine. Get mine. Yours. Right. That's, and I might start with my last name too. Since y'all plan.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Since y'all, I might start there. I might not. Y'all don't tell. I don't have to tell you my plan. It'll you come don't. When it comes.
Where are you going to get it from?
Yeah.
Oh, you see?
Yeah. I'm curious. Because if I could help, you know, if I could help you get yours.
Did someone take it from you?
Yeah, they took it.
And they have it like in a castle? Is it like being guarded by a dragon and some treasure in a cave or something? We got to go on an adventure.
I don't know.
Where is the last name? Where's the surname?
Yeah. Where somewhere, is yours?
Probably somewhere in Stanford. Somewhere in Stanford, probably.
Locked up.
Yeah.
In the vault. Cute. In the warehouse.
it's in there with all the stuff from all the previous manias.
That's right. I haven't explored the whole building.
Just a big neon sign in cursive. This is Langston. We got him.
When you see me cartoonishly creeping in on my tiptoes at HQ, and when you see me scurrying with a big old neon sign, you know, scrambling out of there like Tom and Jerry on my tiptoes, you'll know why. That's what I did. I took mine and I got mine.
This is on this day.
Yes, sir. That's my motto. That's my mantra. So that's me.
All right. Well, is that your time? Are you good?
It's all about time. That's the intro time, I guess.
I yield the floor to, I think they say that in Congress or whatever, you know, I yield the floor.
Yeah.
I yield my time, something like that.
You took up all the floor and there's no more floor to give. So I was going to be upset about Dan saying something about me being from Nebraska, but, you know,
yeah, it's so far removed
in the
now.
Intro. It's so far removed. He said Nebraska. He's, and now we don't have time to talk about that because once again, E, you have taken all the intro time. So let's move on and talk about whatever it is.
Go ahead. Talk about it. Go ahead.
Preach on
it. I mean, you know, Nebraska, where is this? I mean, let's, can we bring Doodoo Dan back on the screen here?
Sure. Yes.
Hello. Well, Nebraska. Why Nebraska now?
So I mean, you want to defame another state is what you want to do.
Hold on a second.
I don't want to live in America tour.
Oh my goodness gracious. Whoa. Hey, come on, y'all. You see me. Look, I'm not a threat. I am not a threat. I'm asking a very simple question. Because we just went completely out of state, went out of this whole region to an area that I've never been in. Not to say that we won't move there, because we like to move.
You've been to Nebraska.
I've never lived there. I've never lived there.
I thought it might be appropriate. It's Valentine, Nebraska.
Valentine, Nebraska. Okay.
Why are we wearing robes, gentlemen?
Well.
Who's going to do?
Is it?
I thought Kof still had the floor because he's.
I didn't have the floor. I didn't have the floor. There was no. He took up all the floor in the intro. He took all the floor.
It's an infinity. The floor is endless.
It's like Tekken, infinite Azure.
Yes, there you go.
No walls. Okay.
Okay. So we're wearing robes, and Dan made the Valentine's joke because this is our quote unquote Valentine's Day celebration episode, and we feel that since we have a platform to speak into these microphones, and y'all enjoy listening to it, we figured why don't we get some sort of, you know, give us some of your romantic experiences, maybe some things you need advice on for Valentine's Day with romance, relationship, friendships, what have you. Now, again, like we usually do before we give advice, we three are not qualified in any sense of the word to be giving this advice. So understand, this is for last giggles and the jokes, literally only. Well, not only, because sometimes we do give good advice.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, the two of you are married with children, your beautiful family. So there are some qualifications there, two of you.
We can give experiences that we've had, but I feel like being married doesn't mean that you give good relationship advice. Because I know a lot of people who are married who are like, well,
okay.
No. So.
All right. Well, non-melanated Dan, can you hit us with the first one?
Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
The clunkiest one MD. Y'all had a problem with light skin. What do you want from me?
Problem. I just want to make sure that I use the word correctly when I used it.
Well, I'm working on it. All right.
All clear.
We do have some questions here from the folks on Twitter, and I will go ahead and go with the first one here. This is from, you may know this fella, Dean Mutati is his name.
Mutati. He likes to party.
I've been single for 11 years. Should I keep it going?
Mojo, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Mojo, the lifestyle that that you live, yeah. I don't think is really conducive to relationships, you know? Yeah, keep it going. At this point, you know, you're all right. I mean, come on, you're already there. You've been single for a long time. Just keep
you're enjoying
it going,
your man. Life. Everybody that you're with is enjoying their lives. You know, just as long as everybody's happy, healthy, and having a good time, and all understanding adults that all get the situation, by all means. Do you?
I was going to say that Mojo and I are one and the same because we're longtime bachelors, but that's very much not the case. The life he lives is one that almost gives me anxiety just thinking about it. The amount of physical contact he has with humans, men and women. I don't mean it like, you know what I mean? I'm saying he has a lot of interactions socially, and he also, he's a man.
He's a club guy. He likes to dance and be out.
Yeah. Yes, he does. About.
Not now, though.
And that's right, because of the pandemic and whatnot. He is a man who is probably still sowing his wild oats, I would imagine. Not for me to judge, but I'm just saying that's what he does. And I feel like he's a man who enjoys his life. I feel like he's a man who's living the life he probably is designed to be living. So, you know, keep doing you, Dean Mutati. Keep doing you. Keep loving life. Keep living. Keep raving. Keep whatever it is that you do out on these Tampa streets and beyond.
He's having a great time. Mojo came over to the house not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was in Atlanta for some stuff. So he came in. He stood on this floor, played with my VR equipment. It was great seeing him. Man,
I haven't seen his face in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Great face.
Isn't it ironic that his initials are DM and he spends a lot of time in his DMs on the social medias and all that? I don't know.
I'm not sure if that's irony, but okay.
Well, it's a heck of a coincidence.
It is.
It's a heck of a coincidence, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You were saying though, like as far as the anxiety, man, like it's work. Well, Mojo, the way he interacts with so many people, and he knows everybody. I think, well, we were in Pittsburgh, right, for David Allen's thing. And then we went out afterwards. I don't know how people convinced me to go out. And there was a club. He ended up knowing some famous DJ or something. And then he
met him that day.
Yeah. Oh, we met him that day.
That morning when we were
walking. Oh, I thought they were buds.
Yeah. I think he may have been friends with somebody who was friends with him, but I think he met that DJ that day.
Wow. He's a hustler.
He is a hustler. You were talking about initials, I thought you were going to go the Damien Priest route. I thought that's where you were
going. Oh, Damien Priest.
Yeah. Right, with initials. Yeah.
Dan, what's the next one?
Oh, yes. Hello. Yes. I'm here with more questions. Hello.
On Raw Talk of all places.
Yeah, right. You can blame Charlie for that.
Right. Hopefully that's Raw Talk.
It's supposed to be Raw.
That's what it's called.
All right. The next question comes from Gary LaPlante. And he asks, my partner and I have discussed getting engaged for a while now. Already have a ring. Just need to think of a way to propose to her under lockdown. Any ideas? Ooh. She said that I can't put the ring on either of the cats. So okay. I have no idea what to do now.
Good call.
I guess it's tough with the whole lockdown situation. I would suggest... Maybe she likes cats and you've already found something that she likes, but find something that she likes and coordinate it with that. For example, for myself, my wife and I were together for, almost like a decade before we actually got married. So about 9 years. And I asked her to marry me. So we had moved to Tampa. And when we bought our house, we were going through the house and everything and whatnot. And then we ended up going to the bonus room. And I got down on bended knee and proposed to her there at the house because it was a situation where even though we had been together for a long time, we were kind of starting a new chapter, being married, you know, the matrimonial route. And it was just more, it was symbolic, you know what I'm saying, of starting, I'm not starting fresh, but starting a new chapter in our lives. So it's easier said than done, because you know, we don't really know your ass, you know what I'm saying? But we gotta find something that she likes. I guess it's hard with the whole quarantine thing, huh?
Especially because, like, so you gotta, so okay, so I'll explain mine. So I did mine in a photo booth, because you know how people will have like their friends or like a photographer, if they're like that and super into all that stuff, they'll get them to like capture the moment so they see everything. So in my head, it was like, photo booths are dope, and it'll be cool to have photo booth like reactions, because like pull the ring up like right when it says 3. So I have a picture of her like, and so like, that's, to me, so that's nice. Kind of cool, but obviously you can't go do something like that now. But then the double layer, so this is where you guys start thinking, because you said you've already talked about being engaged and you already have a ring. So if she listens to this podcast too, she now also knows that you have a ring if she didn't already know. So now I feel like—
Well, she said don't put on the cats.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So she does, she's aware of the ring, yeah. So now I feel like—
Does she know that he has it?
I mean, if she told him he can't put the ring on the cats, then I feel like they've had the conversation that he's gotten the ring. Right. And so I assume— you're not obviously not going out and doing things because quarantine, all that type of stuff. Photo booth on iPad, Dara says. It's a little different, but yeah, so you could do the same thing. But what I'm saying is, I feel like you have to now pump fake the ask, because she knows it's coming. So you need to be like, hey, you know, on Thursday night, I'm going to cook you dinner. And she comes in to like a candlelit dinner, all this stuff. And she thinks, oh, well, clearly he's asking me now. And you don't ask. And then the next week you do something crazy, like you put rose petals from like the shower to like the bed and like the like big extravagant things and love letters everywhere. And then you don't ask. And she's going to go, what the hell is going on? And then you find that one extra thing where it seems like a small thing, but it's actually a huge thing that means a lot to her. And you ask in that moment, now you got it. But I don't know what that is, because like Kofi said, we don't know you, so we don't know the specifics. But I do feel like it would be nice to pump fake so you can at least attempt to surprise her when the time comes. Because it's going to be very difficult in the current situation, especially because she knows it's coming.
That's fair. I got you. I got the idea. This is it. So run with it. This is what you do. You don't need to advertise that you're about to do it or whatever. You just have a normal meal. You put the ring, not in her food. You put the ring in your food. So you're eating the food. And you know the ring is in there. So you don't actually swallow the ring. But when you're eating the food, make sure you like put it in a pocket of your mouth so you don't actually choke on it. But now you actually pretend to choke. You start choking. You point. Can I continue? You point to indicate that you need the Heimlich. You need the Heimlich. So she gets behind you. She grabs a waist lock, like an old school pro wrestling waist lock. It's also an amateur wrestling as well. She grabs the waist lock. And she squeezes. And you're not actually choking, but you're pretending to choke. You, on the third squeeze, because that just feels right, you know, rule of threes. The ring out into the air. And you catch it out of midair. And as you catch the ring, you drop to a knee all in one motion. And you swivel towards her. And you say, honey, baby, sugar cakes, you just saved my life. And now my life will forever be yours. Question. Will you marry me?
Tell me that ain't it, bro. I feel like you're immediately starting the foundation of the marriage off on a lie, because you're saying you saved my life when you weren't really in danger.
Just you don't know that. Might not be talking about that point.
Maybe she said, you saved my life.
So that's my fault. That's my fault for not taking it to the next level. That was deep, E. Congrats. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I thought the final quote, and you swerved it, and it was actually a lot better than what I thought it was going to be when you said that, and my life now belongs to you. I thought you were going to say, you saved my life. Now let me save yours.
What? What a vain proposal.
Look, is that what
you're welcome? Go?
Is that what you're me? Welcome. Put this
now
on.
You take a knee.
What? Now you pledge to me. What?
But that's not where you went with it. I don't know. That's where I thought you were going.
Why would you think I'd take it there?
So you thought E was trying off. To tell this man to try to convince his girl into some form of indentured servitude?
Hey, look, I don't know. That's just the vibe I was getting from the story and the, you know, the ring and the mouth and then the Heimlich point where she knew, oh, Heimlich spot. Okay. She gets behind him and stuff. So that's where I thought you were going, but I was wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry. I feel like I came up with a hell of a plan.
It was great.
I like it.
I am upset that when you said she pulls a waist lock, I'm upset you didn't say you hit a switch in German suplex her. And then like roll through for the pin and pull the ring out underneath, you know?
That's like, depending on their level of wrestling ability, I don't know if they're both high school state champions and go with it, you know? Like, well,
so sometimes it doesn't matter. You know, I see videos of people doing German suplexes in Walmarts, you know?
And we don't condone that. Please don't do that, y'all. We decided to cover ourselves legally. So please don't.
Yeah, cool.
This next one is coming in from Claire, and it says, how does a single mom go about dating but not looking to bring a man into her son's life?
I mean, like, ever?
I mean, I would assume eventually, like once their relationship grows to like that point, but I can only imagine like what it would be like, especially like, and when I say that, I mean like, especially like during quarantine, because like it's hard enough trying to date and juggle all of these things. But during quarantine, geez, what you got, E?
I don't have really experience here. Have you ever considered bringing in a stunt child?
Okay.
Hear me out now. So eventually, let's say this relationship is progressing. Things are going well. And you bring in your stunt child. You say, I want to see how he is around kids. Yeah, kids. So yeah. This kid will be fully trained, by the way, too.
By who? What business is training stunt children so that single parents can test their significant others?
There might be a need.
He'll train at flatbacks. He'll train with Breeze.
You can train him to wrestle. The kids are well trained. We don't know in what, but they're trained in something.
The wrestling side and the stunt kid side.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters is there's some training. So you take the stunt child and you have him in the house and, you know, it's not the most honest thing, but you say, hey, this is my child. Nice to meet you or whatnot. Or, you know, just like get them together and see what kind of bond there is. And if you say, hey, this is cool. They have a good bond together. Then maybe at some point you say, you know what? Right.
And see if they say anything.
Yeah.
Do when they go to the bathroom.
Maybe you do the switch and don't even acknowledge it.
Like, oh, like Fresh Prince. Like Fresh Prince. Like Viv. Yes.
Like on Viv.
Like light skin on Viv.
That's the proper skin.
Way to
that's,
use that's light skin. Yes.
Dan is not light skin.
So, yeah, I believe it or not, I just came up with that idea on the spot. I know it's shocking, but.
Wow. Yeah, I thought you'd been sitting on this for a few years, man. You really molded it.
It's worth considering just to see, you know?
I'm not mad at it because especially if you do the switch, the kid switch, and you act like nothing's wrong, and if they just roll with it, you know something's wrong with them. They go,
right, right. So it's a good little test just to see where we're at in this whole situation.
That's probably, honestly, that's not a bad answer.
Better than anything y'all got. Hey. <You
know? laughs> I don't know. I just feel like I would assume I've been out of the dating game for a hot second, but I assume like quarantine has just made it so much more difficult. And then like going on a date with someone, like where do you go? What do you do? And then how do you know that like they're being safe with their stuff? So like it's, I don't know. You just keep chugging along and you'll cook up some stunt kids.
I got some schemes for you.
Dan, what you got?
I've got one from Handsome Rob. And he says, yes.
I'll be the judge of that.
No pictures, just Handsome Rob. Right. You can look up his Twitter profile. My fiance lives in London, England, and I live in Texas. How can I make Valentine's Day special for her, even though we can't be together?
Ophi, being a Texan yourself, you have anything to give your Texas brethren for advice?
Well, God bless you for dating a Texan. Just kidding. I know a lot of people gonna get hot. Okay, it's just all jokes. I'm not a Texan. I just live here.
Stop it. Just gotta triple down.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long distance, but I don't know. I'm kind of stumped aside from, you know, there's this really good site. I think it's called like goldbelly.com or something like that. And so, you know, we eat, vegan and gluten-free for the most part. And they have all different types of nice treats that are like vegan and gluten free. And like around here in Texas, it's kind of hard to find a lot of the foods that we eat. So I don't know if she eats like a special kind of food or something like that that might be difficult to get that she likes that she can't get in Texas. But if you go to like this Gold Belly website or whatever it is, or go to any website, you know, and order her something special to eat that they don't have around here in Texas, because that goes a long way. So, I mean, I've completely assumed that you have like dietary restrictions or whatever. And I'm essentially saying, oh, just buy her something on Amazon in the mail and send it to her, because it could be whatever. It could be. And she'll feel special. But, you know, that was a good one for me. We got all types of good vegan treats, and my wife enjoyed that.
I think where Kofi's trying to go with this, with the food idea, it would be probably kind of fun because you guys can't share a meal with each other because you're so far apart from each other. But if you have the ability to like FaceTime and you guys both have a recipe of something that you've never made before and you guys cook together over FaceTime and then you eat the meal together. So it's almost as if you're in the same kitchen as close as you can be to still kind of celebrate. And might just be even just like a fun date night thing. Just being able to link up on FaceTime or like Zoom, whatever your conduit for digital information is in these times, and planning an activity to do together. There's something that I just started doing. It's, you know, those like subscription boxes, the monthly subscriptions. So they have them where you're doing, they're like murder mysteries. So obviously all we do is just like sit and watch Netflix and watch all the murder mystery stuff, the documentaries. And so these, you actually get a box of like evidence and there's suspects and you go through and read the fake newspapers and stuff and figure out like what suspect you can take off the list this month. And some of them are like 6 months, some are 8 months, some are just one full thing in a box. Like, it's pretty cool. And so I think doing something like that too. So if you're not into cooking or you don't want to just sit and watch TV together, if you guys both order this thing, it's essentially like a little game and you guys can sit and work together to work through this crime. There's a bunch of little things like that. But any way you can link up and do the share the same activity, I think that's something that will kind of bring you guys that feeling of being together.
Do you guys remember the condor?
The bird?
The bird?
No, the plane.
Count it. Yeah. Condor.
It was
fastest planes, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think it's as simple as looking into renting a Condor. Get to the UK real quick. Be right back real soon. Concorde. It's Concorde. I thought it was a Condor.
I thought it was like,
no, the Condor is the bird in South America with the greatest wingspan.
It would make sense though, you know, because a bird is very much like, anyways, it's the Concorde. I'm corrected by Dan. Right. Anyways, so my whole Condor thing, just take that out. Make sure to, have you ever heard of a Concorde?
Leave that in. Leave that in. Because he wants to cut out all the things where he sounds dumb.
That's right. Anyways, just rent a really fast plane and you could be there real quickly.
Just rent a really fast plane.
Right. That's my solution. I don't think they make Concordes anymore, but
whatever happened to the Concorde? Because that was supposed to be like the next like mode of travel, right? Yeah,
right.
So, if you want, this is one way in the continental U.S. The hourly rate for a light jet is $44,750 for the hourly rate. Within 25-hour price is $118,750. So I'd imagine
$44,000 for an hour.
The hour, it's $4,750 an hour.
That's not that bad.
Especially, I thought you said 44. Okay.
If it's so fast to get you to the UK in like 15 minutes, that's not bad at all.
These are prices for a one way in the continental US. So I imagine they only increase, but these are not cheap prices. Eve, what kind of money do you have?
I mean,
look, you know, don't make this about me.
That bad.
Well, wow. those are absurd prices.
My God.
Look. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Are you getting a bigger cut of this podcast than we are?
don't get me started on that. I'm trying to help my guy out, you know, so he can see his love real quick. That's all. That's all I want. So
you're going to float him this.
So you're gonna come out of the pocket.
$5,000?
There you go. Because it ain't nothing to you.
Yeah. What is help? What does help look like to you? Some words?
It's a recession in my house. It's a recession. So that's all I want. I just want Tim to see his love. That's all.
Just use my idea. You'll be fine. All right, next.
One's coming in from wrestling nerd Jay. And he says, my wife has the hots for Finn Balor, but I look more like Rick Moranis. Any tips?
You don't need tips. Sorry,
Rick Moranis is the man.
If your wife is into Finn and you're saying any tips because you look like Rick Moranis, I'm going to assume, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm going to assume that you're saying that, Finn is more attractive than Rick. Eye of the beholder, whatever. But think about this. Your wife chose who? You. Why? Because she loves you. She L-O-V-E-S-U. Yeah, somebody's super attractive, whatever. This guy does flips and kicks and whatever. But who'd she choose? You. So you already won. You don't need any advice. You already won, sir. Congrats on having a fantastic wife who loves you. Congrats.
Is there some kind of like beer goggle-like device that she could put on? Well, again, hear me out.
There are, those do exist.
But imagine if there was some filter that would just allow her to see Finn. Every time she looked at her husband, she saw Finn. And then it's the best of both worlds, because now he gets all this love and affection as if he had these washboard abs, and she gets to be with the man that she lusts after. This is a win-win.
Is this just, you're just talking about Shallow Hal?
Is that what,
that movie? Isn't that what happened?
I don't quite remember the premise.
I think that was it. I don't think I actually saw the movie. I think I just saw the previous.
I'm trying to make this work for her. Or if beer goggles, virtual reality was also floated by Dara. Maybe instead of the beer goggles, maybe you just need the beer.
These are healthy advice tips.
Ordinarily, I would kind of sway towards what you were saying, Woods, but I'm 100% in agreement with E right now, because you do all that. And to top it off, you go to the craft store, you get yourself some paint, you know, you put it on yourself and you become the demon, baby. And you go on Spotify and you put on the music. So when she comes home, you shut the lights off and you put on the demon's music. And now you get to crawling on the carpet. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you come out and now she's, oh my, you know what I'm saying? Now you're Finn the demon and you're doing it. And now she didn't expect this, you know? She walks in the door expecting to see Rick Moranis, and now she sees not only Finn Balor, but she sees him in the full out demon form. That's what you need to do.
Okay, I'm with that.
You think that'll get the juices flowing?
100%. Are you kidding me?
If that's if somebody's super lusty and they get some sort of cosplay role play situation, bro, it's game.
And get your good like speaker system too. Don't just put it on your phone, because it's not gonna hit. When Finn's music hits and the bass, boom, and the light, you know, I don't know if you can have a friend there to work the lights. I don't know, whatever. But you know, you have someone do the lights and then the bass hits, like it's a mood, you know? Yeah. That's the mood that you wanna set. Trust me when I'm telling you, bro.
Because then that goes both ways. Cause like if he's like, yeah, you know, I did this because I know you're into this. And then maybe she goes, oh, well, he's really into this. So maybe I should surprise him. You don't ask for it, because you don't do things in order to get things in return. You just do them to do them. But then that might spark something. And now you guys have opened up a whole new door to your relationship. So I was out when he was explaining it, but when Kofi brought the cosplay into it, I was like, okay, I'm in. It works for everybody.
Look, I sparked the idea. Give me some credit. Kofi polished it. I'll give him that. He polished it. That's fair.
Well, it's a team effort. Next,
you know what we do.
Next, Dan. That's
what we do. We'll leave that alone.
Next is from Nate, Kansas. And he says, my girlfriend says to not worry about doing anything super special for Valentine's Day. Do I take her at her word and just plan a nice, quiet dinner at the house? Or is it a test? Help me, New Day. My relationship is in your hands.
You do exactly what she said, because say what you mean what you say. If you don't want something, say you don't want something. But if you do, then say you want it, because we're grown. If we were 7, if we were 14, if we were 18, it goes, yeah, sure, we'll play these games because we're children. We're adults now. I don't have time to play these games. I have a job. I have bills to pay. I have children to take care of. So if she doesn't want Valentine's Day, she's smart, because she's saying save your money. Rather than paying triple the price for something on this day, do it on, like, I don't know, July 12th. There's a nice dinner, some edible arrangements. Space it out throughout the year. There's no reason to just pack it all into one day. Listen to your girl. And if she gets mad at you because you did what she said, now you got some different problems. Now you got some conversations to have.
I will say that everyone is different. And I, again, am vastly unqualified here. But one of the things that the WWE has done in the past, they've brought in these relationship counselors. And some of this information is superfluous. Some of it is, it's not going where you think it's going, Kof. It's not, I promise.
Please go there.
It's not. But there's one of the things that I learned more about that I really enjoyed is love languages. And I will say that I realized for me, gift receiving gifts is very low as far as like the way I like to deal with affection or any kind of intimacy, whether it be friendship or otherwise. And so I think that's a good start as far as knowing what your partner wants. And it helps you to know what you value in a relationship. And if when I say that I don't want gifts, I do genuinely mean I don't want gifts. But again, everyone is different. Kofi, while Woods was talking, was very much seemed to be not in agreement. So I will let you go from here.
Yes. Yes. I was kind of going to go there too with the five love languages. If anyone hasn't read that book, you should. There's, you know, like you were talking about, different ways how people like to receive and give love. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the question was, my girlfriend told me not to do anything special for her, or did she say not to get her a gift specifically?
Not to do anything super special for Valentine's Day.
Okay, super, okay. So I don't know if anyone has seen Star Wars, but I think it's General Akbar who has the famous quote, and the quote is, "It's a trap! It's a trap. It's a trap." You to not do anything super special. Again, this melds right into the whole love languages. Like there is a way to make her feel special. There's a way that she likes to receive, the way that she likes to feel love. So you don't have to get her a gift if that's not what she likes. But if she likes to be complimented, you know, compliment her. If she likes to spend quality time, these are the love languages. You know, she wants to spend quality time with you. Find a way to do something that, you know, just revolves around what she likes to do, what she likes. Because, you know, everybody likes to be made to feel special in some way, shape, or form. So just make her feel special in the way that she would like to receive it, you know, and you would know that better than us. Because once again, we don't know your ass, you know.
I will say I agree with you, Cove. And my thing is spread it throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
We should feel like that, because I feel like we put so much emphasis on Valentine's Day. Yeah, of course I'm going to show love on Valentine's Day, but I'm going to show love 365.
Yeah.
And so I never understood the, like, because to me, it's like, it's a Hallmark tradition, like just so you can like pay more money on during this week in February, because if you don't, then you're going to get scolded for it. Like, no, we'll just do something next week, or we'll do something next month because it's cheaper and we have a full life that we want to live together. We want to save money for a down payment on a house. We want to put money into our children's college funds. Like there's things that are more important than the 14th. And I feel like the idea of making someone feel special, you got to do that all the time, all the time. But she says, I don't want something super special on Valentine's Day. And you go, okay, regular special, quality time, let's do that. But let's do quality time on a lot of other days too, throughout the year. And that's my stance.
Yeah.
Okay. Our boss lady, Dara, makes a very good point that I would like to read. She says, some people have issues with self-worth and don't feel deserving, which can lead to saying things like, don't do anything for me.
I agree with that. I think that listening to them in situations like this and then seeing the physical reaction, whether that's upset or whatever, then it leads to having bigger conversations so that you can open up and actually talk about those things. Because if these things are being said because of a certain insecurity or things like that, like, and we're not talking about that, you're just talking about doing something special on Valentine's Day, I feel like you're not really getting to the root of the actual issue. And I feel like, and I didn't mean to get this deep, but then I feel like it turns into a thing where you're just doing things because society is saying do them rather than actually focusing on the specifics of your relationship and what you need to do in order to progress together as a unit. So I feel like those things have to be taken into account when we ask ourselves things like, oh, do we do something even though our spouse said not to? No, because if you're confused about that, you guys, it's time for y'all to have a bigger conversation, because it should just work. It should flow.
I would like to backtrack to Kofi's point. The Akbar point about the trap. Why is it that someone who loves you and you love dearly and you spend all this time together in a committed relationship, why would they want to set a trap for you to fail?
Thank you. That's the wrong person. That's the wrong person for you.
I should have said it could be a trap. No. I don't want to, you know, apply this to every single relationship, because Woods made a very good point right there. But I don't know, man. I've seen certain relationships where someone will tell their spouse or you know, their mate one thing, and then when they do exactly as they're told, then it's a fight. Well, of course, that's not what I wanted. And I'm sure a lot of people can identify with that, but that goes into what Woods was saying about having the deeper conversation about, you know, saying what you mean and meaning what you say. So yes, I'll backtrack too, and I will rephrase that and say it could be a trap.
I like how we both backtracked into each other's statements. So we could be in the middle of like, this is the one. This is the one.
Dan? Yes. Very different question here. This one's coming in from Thrillin' Dylan, and he wants to know, how do I get my wife to be interested in watching my old indie matches?
Oh, boy. Hey.
Not what I was expecting.
I don't know if that's happening, bro. I'm not interested in my old indie matches.
No.
Okay, so think about this. Like, if it's your old indie matches, like, I feel like I'm still, like, I've been wrestling since I was 17. I'm 34 now. I feel like I'm just now, like, becoming, like, okay at wrestling. So, like, anything from, like, the first 5 years of wrestling, I want nothing to do with. I don't want to see it. I don't want any of it. And you know. But maybe you're a prodigy, and maybe your first matches were incredible, and maybe you wanted to get into it, but you got to ask yourself, why do you want her to be interested in these? Do you want her to be interested in watching your matches, or do you want her to enjoy what you enjoy, like, so you can do it together? What's the reasoning?
That's a very good point. I absolutely despise watching myself. So I completely understand that. Not just my old stuff, like FCW stuff, which is abhorrent, which is abysmal, which should be burned. Which
no, it's great.
No one.
That's the five count. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I said FCW, not NXT.
Oh, Rob Naylor just sent me a clip of you doing an entrance with Calvin Reigns.
That was my
guy. And I was like, this is great.
Shout out to Pat Brink, a.k.a. Calvin Reigns, World Tech Partner. Anyways, I also still, even to this day, despise watching myself. So it is a bit odd. I would like to get to the root of why you want to force this upon your wife. If she's interested and takes interest, that's great. Then I'm all for that. But I'd also like to know why she's just not into wrestling. She doesn't want to see you get hurt. Some people, maybe that's her reasoning as well. I was going to provide some comical ways you could, you know, force her to, like, was it Clockwork Orange, where the eyes are, like, pried open? But that felt wrong. So I was, I'm not going to suggest that at all. I'm not going to go that route. But maybe watch Clockwork Orange together, because that's a great movie.
There you go. So there are certain things that your wife is just not going to be interested in, man. You know, like, I think, like, a lot of times. So, for example, like football, my wife is not like a football fanatic, but I'll get to talking about football and she'll sit there and she'll listen. And I know that she's just not into the sport. There was one point in time where we were supposed to sit down and she was going to, like, figure out how to play the game, you know, or how to, like, the rules of the game and everything. And here we are a decade plus later. And, you know, she still doesn't know, but she'll still listen to me. And you know, so God bless her. That's how you know you have somebody who really loves you, because you know damn well some of the stuff that you talk about, it's not that they don't care about it, but there's just not, like, that interest. And I think that's something that we just have to accept. It's okay. Like, you don't have to like all the same things. You don't have to be into all the same things, you know? And I'm not saying to, like, you know, like, go and take a dump on what it is that she likes and you might not like. Obviously, like, listen to that and vice versa. But I don't know, man. I think you might be out of luck. If she's not into it, I don't know how long you guys have been together, but I assume she's known about your indie wrestling for a while now. And if she ain't into it by now, chances are she probably ain't going to get into it in an authentic way. So just let it go, man. If she's willing to listen to it, then great. If not, that's okay too. You guys don't have to like the same things.
I have a question, because I feel like for the however long we've been filming, E has been shaking this cup in front of the camera, waiting for us to ask him about it.
No.
So do you want to talk about the cup?
I just wanted to hold it.
You've been turning it to make sure we see George, holding it above your hand, right, underneath your chin, holding it with one middle finger, shaking it around as fast and violently as you can to make sure somebody says something about it. What do you want to say about the cup?
I just wanted to be on the video. That's all. We didn't need to address it. It's the mug of George Costanza in the Seinfeld episode where he did the boudoir shoot. That's all that is. And a friend of mine sent me two of them, and I very much enjoy them. That's all.
It's a great looking cup. It's a great looking cup.
It's a mug, but that's fine.
Excuse me. Sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect you.
I appreciate that. Let's move on. Oh, Dan.
Notice me.
He's shaking it around. What do you mean? I'm not doing any of that.
This old thing? You mean this cup here?
Shaking it for 30
Which
minutes.
One?
Good God.
That's right.
This one is from Ada N, and she asks, I said yes to a date, but now I kind of regret it. What's the best way to cancel without standing him up?
You got to ghost him. You got to ghost him. You got to. No. Canceling plans is my favorite thing to do. Avoiding human interaction, my favorite thing to do. And sometimes just a little ghost, just a sorry, I'm out, is just real refreshing to me. Because, man, sometimes I think the problem is like sometimes when you don't want to do something or see someone, it just feels like a weight, like a burden on you. And then I get to the point where I realize, you know what? I don't have to do this. I don't have to go somewhere. And I just feel this relief. I feel this relief. Of course, it's not healthy to just ghost people, especially if he hasn't done anything wrong. So I don't actually suggest doing that. But don't do anything that you don't want to do. That's my larger point. I think it's okay to be upfront with this individual and let them know that I'm not comfortable. I'm having some issues, whatever it is, with anxiety. I'm not sure whatever it is that makes you feel uncomfortable with doing this. It's also a pandemic, which is also, as you know, if you listen to this podcast religiously, that's my number one excuse for getting out of things. Sorry, it's a pandemic. It's great. It works all the time. I can't go anywhere. It's a pandemic. I can't hang out with you. It's a pandemic. I can't meet your parents. It's a pandemic. I can't leave my house. It's a pandemic. I got to watch football all Saturday and Sunday. It's a pandemic.
He said, I can't meet your parents.
Yeah. So don't do that. I mean, ghosting is fun. Don't get me wrong. It's real. It's a real blast.
What?
But you should probably handle it more healthfully than I would.
Bro, so many of these questions you preface with like, well, I'm not really qualified for this, but this one you just jump right in with the song. You gotta ghost them.
Yeah. You're not even prepared. You've been ready. Somebody's gonna ask me about ghosting. I got it.
I enjoy it.
We're gonna
very
see
much.
You on is there a new ghost fit or a new ghost show on MTV? It's kind of like that catfish show.
I don't know.
People who got ghosted.
MTV only plays ridiculousness all day.
I saw that too.
That's what I was saying.
They play a lot of ridiculousness.
And the thing is, people were upset about it, but they know they watched it. They know they watched Ridiculousness for 12 hours straight.
Bro, they got a pretty solid catalog. Why don't they play other shows? Like Pimp My Ride. Play more Pimp My Ride.
Bring that back, Pimp My Ride.
Exhibit's still doing it, man. Bring Exhibit back.
What about just like some music videos?
Or that too.
I know, right?
Music on a channel named Music Television? No.
It's crazy. The only place you see music videos now is what? At the gym? Right? Like when they have the
Music or whatever.
Where else do you see music videos?
Yeah. Because like they'll turn on like Jamiroquai, like Virtual Insanity. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go. But to this person who needs this advice, I don't, I'm with E. I don't think ghosting is the right answer, but I think it is totally fine to hit them up and just tell them, hey, I know I said like I was down to go do this, but I'm uncomfortable for reason X, Y, and Z. And so really sorry, but I want to let you know in advance so that you could change your plans or you weren't waiting for this to happen. And then it doesn't last minute because I just called you at 6 o'clock and we're supposed to meet at 7. Like as much time in advance you can give this person. Hopefully the date's not today. And hopefully they don't listen to this podcast. So then they know your plan. But after you tell them that you're not going on the date, then you shoot them the link to this podcast so they can subscribe. We'd appreciate it.
Do that. Actually lead with that. Subscribe to this. And by the way, we're not going out either. But no, I mean, you guys have said it. Don't do anything that you don't want to do. You know, just I can't really add much to what you guys said.
Do you enjoy canceling plans as much as I do?
For a time, I did because I was like in that zone of I don't want to do anything. But then I noticed that every time I'd cancel, I'd get like a little like serotonin boost and be like, ooh, you see, really good. Because like
really?
You said, but then. I noticed that I was just canceling because I liked that feeling of like, well, like it's not like an important meeting. We can just cancel. We can just do it later. But then I told myself like, no, I need to start doing these things because I'm continuously saying no. And now I'm wondering like why all my friends are having all this fun without me. It's because I'm purposely not going because I feel like canceling is great.
Wow.
But then I realized like, no, I just need to say yes to as much stuff as possible. For many reasons, one of them, and this happened like maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, one of them was that it was that FOMO. Like my friends were having so much fun. And I was like, why am I even saying no? Like I want to go do these things. What I don't want to do is get up and leave my house. That's the thing. I want to be there with my buddies and doing whatever, but I don't feel like getting up. But once you get up and you leave the house, then you're fine. I am at least.
I don't think I have FOMO anymore. I haven't for a long time. I probably have FOMO. Fear of not missing out. Fear. Because I look forward to the missing out. I can't wait to miss out.
That's fair. Maybe missing out is your love language.
Man, I think it is.
Yeah. Just canceling.
That's plans. Why you live by yourself.
Yeah. You want to make some plans right now so you can cancel them later? You can feel good.
That's going to be the weekend. That's going to be my little weekend hobby. Yeah. I'm going to make a bunch of plans and just cancel them all just to feel that serotonin rush.
One a day. Make 7 plans for Saturday. And then starting that Sunday, whatever, start canceling. So one gets canceled right before and you'll feel, wow, you'll feel insane.
Next one comes in from Scott Underwood. What on earth do I do for Valentine's Day for a girlfriend that I've been going out with for less than 2 weeks?
Oh, my God. Nothing. You said nothing? No. Yeah, nothing. I mean, you can do so. You can get away with anything. You're about to set the bar. Nothing would be setting the bar low.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe nothing's the way to go, because this relationship does last even another 52 weeks. Then, you top what you did last year. You've automatically topped it if you don't do anything at all. But I don't know. She might be somebody who's like, well, he didn't even do anything for me on Valentine's Day. And now all of a sudden the relations, it's questionable. Maybe she doesn't feel like you went out of your way to do anything special. So now is the rest of her life going to be filled with you not doing anything special for her in these special moments? Or does she find that out as she gets to know you? But is she willing to go further to get to know you? Because she doesn't, she doesn't realize, she doesn't see that she hasn't seen you put forth an effort. So I don't know. I would do something, but it don't set the bar too high. Don't set the bar too high. You know her, you barely know her ass. You know what I'm saying? It's been 2 weeks. So do something special. Go out to dinner, have a conversation, get her some chocolates. You know what I'm saying? If she likes that, maybe she doesn't, but that's okay. You don't know her. You're learning about each other. So to me, the door is wide open, bro. 2 weeks, man, it's easy.
I think when you wake up on that day, the 14th, you send a happy Valentine's Day text with like a heart emoji.
That's it?
2 weeks, dude.
You're going to talk to her though later.
Yeah. And you'll
call her at least.
And like you said, you'll have a conversation. Do something nice. Like that's like, I don't understand what you need at 2 weeks. I mean, if he's known her for a long time and they just started dating, yeah, you do something because you've known this person. But if it's like, I literally just met you 2 weeks ago, no, I'm not doing anything.
Maybe a dinner feels like it could be a bigger production. Maybe, something smaller, like a sandwich,
Yeah, just like a regular thing.
A little
just
picnic.
Just share a couple sandwiches. That's something, a picnic, I think a picnic feels like I would have a picnic with a good friend too, where it's not, if you're worried about it being too aggressive, I feel like that's a step down from a fancy dinner. If you're 2 weeks in, nice, just enjoying nature, and the nice part is you can do it away from people too. You can be distance. So I feel like a good old fashioned picnic feels about that hits a spot for me.
I agree with picnic.
I guess it depends on where you live. Cause I'm thinking outdoor picnic right now. Today it was like 83 degrees here. It was beautiful.
Perfect.
So this is great picnic weather. If you're in Minnesota right now, I'm assuming it's very cold and snowy. Might not be picnic weather. So I guess
indoor picnic, move the table in the living room.
Not mad
indoor
at
picnic.
Okay. Or you do the or you're in Minnesota and you do the outdoor picnic, and that forces the little snuggle. Y'all get a little close. It's cold. Do you want my jacket? And you give her your jacket and you bring her in, and now you guys, you're embracing each other and you're getting closer. It's 2 weeks, bro. Remember our first Valentine's Day out there in the snow? Remember that picnic that we had in Minnesota? It's memorable.
If it is still like that, it'd be a good thing. You go build a snowman, like play in the snow, do something fun like that. Bro. But again, I feel like when people talk about like, I need like a Valentine's Day thing, like see like a picnic, hanging out in the snow, like all that stuff seems like very like, it's like regular stuff that you should be doing like on the regular anyway. So guys and ladies, understand. It's not that I guess me, because I feel like I'm very much the no Valentine's Day. No, I just think that the love needs to be spread around. So picnics, yes, do them all the time. Flowers, do them when you can. Some dinners, some conversations throughout the whole year. But picnic, I agree with you, E. 2 weeks, picnic works.
Thank you.
Dan?
All right. Villacron wants to know, how do you improve your dating app profile?
I've never used a dating app.
I'm totally out on this.
It's just like Twitter and stuff, right? But you just, less information, just swiping through pictures and stuff.
That's it?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Oh, you've never been on one either?
Interesting. I'm so far out of this. I don't understand any of it. Like swipe left, swipe right. I don't know. It seems very impersonal to me. And maybe all the dating apps aren't like this, but maybe you're just looking for a little meetup, a little hookup, you know, I don't know. Like back in the day, you had to meet somebody in the flesh. And obviously you're going to do that. And after swiping through, but to me, like being on the screen and picking out your ideal person, just, it's weird. I know people do it. It's just, it's very strange to me. I don't understand. I'm out of the game.
I don't think so. I feel like in the way that the world has come closer together, like that people meet people on the internet through like all kinds of things. Like I've met people like through PlayStation. I've been friends with them for like 2 years and then like finally meet them in person somewhere. And it's like, oh, cool. Like I know what you look like now. So I feel like meeting people on the internet is so much more commonplace that the idea of meeting like an actual person to have like a long-term relationship with on the internet, like okay. Yeah. See, so Dan said he met his wife on a dating site. Dan, matter of fact, get in here. You got this experience.
A
completely successful experience. Tell us about your experience on a dating app, if you're comfortable.
Sure. I always felt that my thing was just to always be completely genuine and honest and not try to like talk yourself up to something that you're not. Cause like best case scenario, you meet someone and you hit it off and everything. They're going to find out who you really are. So don't lead with something that you're not. Like just put out who you are. Don't try to lie to impress anyone. And, you know, hopefully it works out. Doesn't work out for everyone, but, I've been married for years now. Met her 6 years ago. It's been great.
We got married in a Taco Bell.
Hell yeah.
Great. Hell of a story.
I've never used. I just thought of this. This is real dumb. So the only dating, I set up one dating profile, but it was not for me. One time, Celeste and I thought it was real funny. We just love Arn, and she took one picture of Arn Anderson shirtless while ironing his shirt at TV. And we decided to, or I decided to make a dating profile for Arn just to, and he's married and he's not like, no one, this is just to, and it didn't go anywhere. I don't think I responded to it. I think I deleted it a little bit later, but, I made the only dating profile I've ever made was for Arn Anderson. So I'm not sure. I don't even remember what site I used.
And is this something that like you went to him? You're like, hey, look what I did. This is funny. Nope. So you did it, didn't even show him, then deleted it because you were like, this is a bad idea.
He's completely ignorant to the fact.
Yeah.
Until people that listen to this tag him and they say, hey, you know, he made you a dating site years ago.
Did you get any traffic? Did you get any, did you interact with anybody? Did you try to catfish anybody?
No, I never pretended to be Arn. I never interacted with people as Arn. I just set out the profile to get a couple chuckles. And then that was about it. So I don't even know if I deleted it. I don't know where, I can't remember. This was years and years ago. This was probably pre-New Day. This was probably 7 years ago. So I have no idea if it's still up or what site I used, but it just came to me 2 minutes ago as we were talking that I set up a dating profile for Arn.
You need to find this and delete it. You need to find this and delete it.
What if somebody comes up to him and is like, Arn, you haven't responded to my text on the dating app?
Yes.
What you talking about,
I didn't
about,
use
man?
His name. I made up a name. Oh, I didn't use Arn Anderson.
But it was his profile pic of him ironing on the shirt. And somebody's going through and they see this and they take interest. And now they're hoping that he responds and they see it. What?
I legitimately have no idea if it's still live. I don't remember if I deleted it.
I need to understand. So you didn't use his name. You didn't show him the profile. Like, what was the impetus? Like, did you do it and you were laughing like the whole time and then it was just done? And you're like, this exists. And then you walked away from it.
Yeah.
What was the payoff?
Yeah, there's no payoff. Yeah, look, I'm searching for it. I'm searching for it.
Look, sometimes you gotta give yourself a couple chuckles.
Okay, so you said Celeste sent you this picture. So you weren't even with her when you made this profile. You're by yourself.
Yeah, I was by myself.
Did you tell her that you made it?
I think I did. This is like 7 years ago. So I don't know.
I think I did. So there's a possibility. There's a possible universe where Celeste texted you this picture of Arn ironing his shirt backstage. You just saved it, made a profile, not using Arn's name, didn't tell anyone until 7 years later on this podcast.
I don't even think, I don't remember if I used the shirtless pic. I might've just used an Arn face pic. I remember we were very in on Arn. Arn was just
popping. This is getting very weird.
First of all, Arn is one of the funniest people you will ever meet in the business. Agreed. Arn is hilarious. And I was a big Arn fan right there. So I was just.
And you were such a fan that you decided to make a dating profile for him.
And you found
a good pick of him.
You said, so you saw this picture of him ironing his shirt and you said, you know what? I want to make him a dating profile, but I don't want to use this picture. Let me find a good one. And he found a good picture of Arn, probably smiling, happy. And then you named it whatever, Charles Wooderson. I don't know.
Dickens, it was Dickens.
Charles Dickens, yes. And then instead of going, hey, Arn, this is funny, or hey, Celeste, this is funny, or even later at some point, like, hey, guys, this is funny, ha, ha, ha. You just made it, laughed to yourself for 10 seconds, and then turned your phone off and watched college football?
The point wasn't to make other people laugh. The point was to make myself laugh.
But I'm wondering what the payoff was.
Mission accomplished. The payoff is the laughs. That's it. Just the laughs.
But it's still there. To Dan's point, yes, it still exists.
I don't know if it does or not. I can't remember if I deleted it. I probably deleted it. I don't know.
I feel like when you delete something, you know you deleted it. So you definitely didn't delete
from
it.
From 7 years ago? I don't remember. Yes. I don't remember if I deleted his Christian Mingle profile. I don't know.
I hope it's farmers, on like, his farmer's own farmer's meat. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
If you put it on Black People Meat,
that might have been it.
That would have popped for.
That honestly might be it. It sounds right.
I was listening to this comedian. I can't remember who I'm mad. I can't remember. But he goes, yeah, some of my friends use this website called Black People Meat. And he goes, it's a great dating site for Black people to meet other Black people. But also sounds like it could be a really weird racist cannibal site.
Yeah.
This is Black People Meat. And I was like, this is weird.
There's some issues there. Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
Dan?
Oh, Dan.
This is the last one?
Yes.
Last one.
Final.
This one's from Stephanie Chronopoulos. Says, thoughts on shooting your shot on the socials?
Do it.
Go for it.
Just be respectful about it. Don't be all nasty in somebody's DMs. But if you're like, hey, how's it going? You know, I've been noticing you and want to say, hey, like something respectful, you know?
I've used Twitter and Instagram to date before. In fact, I think that's why I didn't jump on dating profiles. It's because it's just a way to connect. I've also made friends. Like I first connected with Wale because of Twitter. Just went like via the DMs. Same thing with Flapper Zombies, with Juice. So not just Twitter and Instagram, just kind of just a great way to connect with people from around the country and around the world. I think at least from in our professions, it's a little bit different. I think there's usually, as long as there's a level of respect and it's not creepy, I don't see any issues. And I think too, when I was younger, I used to dread being turned down so much. It used to just feel like a personal attack, like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy enough. But then you realize as you get older, rejection, honestly, is a good thing. It's a good thing in your personal life. It's a good thing in your professional life because you learn to deal with bumps in the road. You learn to, it can make you better. It gives you a level of resilience. So, you know, and I think I'm someone who has often limited themselves in thinking, man, I'm not good enough to do that or to do this. But then I just got to a certain point where I just said, you know what? I need to get out of my own head and just try. Just try the thing. And that's how I got into wrestling. And, you know, over a decade later, I'm still here. And even just making connections with certain people who I thought wouldn't care about me or wouldn't be that interested. And some of them are some of my best friends on earth. And you can meet some great people just shooting your shot. So I say, as long as you're not real weird about it, there's usually very little downside in shooting your shot. If someone ignores you, it's okay because it's not an indictment of you as the person or of your abilities or your looks or your charm. Oftentimes, that stuff isn't about you at all. It's about that person or where they are in their life or whatever's going on in their life. So don't take rejection personally. It's something that I've had to learn. And I'm really grateful that I learned that lesson as well. It took me a long time to learn, but I definitely say, go ahead. Why not?
Yeah. I'm in that same boat. And it's funny that you said that because I feel like, especially in like middle school, high school, there are so many different moments where, you know, you go to like your semi or your dance or whatever. And, you know, you want to ask this girl to dance. And a lot of times I was so shy and for a lot of reasons, for a lot of the same reasons that you had mentioned too, about like not feeling good enough and fearing rejection and stuff like that. And I feel like I missed out on a lot of great moments because a lot of people talk about like their, you know, their proms and their semis and they have all these wonderful memories. My senior prom, I wasn't even going to go because I just intimidated to ask the person who I wanted to ask. And I ended up bringing one of my friend's best friends just so that she could have her best friend at the prom, you know? And I was just like, oh, why am I here? Like, I don't want to be here, like, with this person. And nothing, obviously, against her. She was an awesome girl. But the memory that I have of it now could have been absolved, and I could have been replaced with a memory that was, you know, that was fond, and it would have left me feeling fond about senior prom and stuff like that. So, but like, what the worst thing that would have happened is what? Someone would have said no. Okay, then you move on, you know? So like you said, man, like that fear of rejection is very real. And I wish I had also learned a lot earlier not to be afraid to be rejected. So definitely shoot your shot and see what happens. The worst thing that could happen is they say no, right? Who cares? You'll live.
Or the worst thing that could happen is it starts off real well, you get married, and now you're trapped in the trap that is marriage, and you can't go anywhere. And this is my life now.
And you look at them and you say, damn, I shouldn't have DM'd you. Now I'm not sure. Now I'm not sure because you told me you didn't want anything special for Valentine's Day. And now I'm here sending tweets to the New Day asking them how to deal with your ass. I should have never DM'd you. I knew you were sorry when I saw you on Twitter.
Damn that New Day pod.
So yeah, that's how we feel. You feel free to shoot your shot. Just make it respectful, because that's
respect.
There's nothing wrong with a respectful, hey, how's it going? But if you're getting,
yeah, but getting, sometimes though, you can go too respectful and that it comes off as, you know what I mean? Like, you can be too tepid and it could be like, all right. But sometimes if you come in real hot, sometimes you can knock someone's socks off. It'd be like, or at least come in with something humorous, or, you know, I just don't want people to be, there's a certain level of respect, but you also, if you have an understanding of who it is that you're shooting a shot with and they have a certain sense of humor, maybe go that route. Because you want to make an impression. If you go in too tepid, too respectful, sometimes it's like, all right, I'm not really feeling it. But sometimes I just want to feel the heat in the DMs. I want to pick up my phone. I want it to be sizzling. Let me throw this phone down.
You get the oven
to reply.
So I feel like if you got a picture in your DMs of someone replicating the George shoot that's on your mug, you'd be
don't start with a pick. Pick is that's too strong. That's a little strong.
Especially when it's all covered. Everything's covered. It's just the same kind of shoot.
Yeah, but you know how it on Instagram, at least when you don't follow the person, it kind of blurs it. There's moment of trepidation where you're like, I don't know what I'm going to get. This is a whole,
you look excited.
Can of worms.
You look so excited right now.
I don't know. It could be anything. Sometimes you just don't know. But I don't know about starting with a pick. Maybe start with some conversation first, and then I don't know.
And then I don't know.
Man, it's a whole minefield. Remember that time you had me open my DMs because I was bored?
Hysterical.
That was absolutely a horrible hysterical. Idea. That was a god-awful idea. First of all, even trying to go through them felt like work. And then just, it got to a certain point where the request, not even like filthy, it was just, a lot of it was just nonsense and silliness. And I just said, this was a horrid, horrid idea. Awful
idea. But there's so I keep, my DMs are open, but I can't tell you how many connections I've made, like specifically like in the gaming space, because they are open. So it's somebody who, like, they work at the place X and they want to be respectful and be like, hey, you know, like, I see up, up, down, and doing this. We're interested in having you guys do this. Like, and then we can exchange emails and stuff. So like, I can't tell you how many connections I've been able to make because my DMs are open. And they've helped me get to the point where, like, now I've got this hosting gig at G4. And like, if I never opened my DMs and like talked about it, like, I wasn't able to get those connections, then I wouldn't have had I wouldn't have been able to gain the responsibilities at work that I have with the YouTube channel and to like move it along. So like Twitter's strong. Twitter's powerful for a lot of things. Just try to use it for good.
So open your DMs, y'all. Open them up.
He said like that and lick your lips.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, summarization.
And that summarizes this whole thing. Open your DMs, ladies and gentlemen. And the point
is, it could be a Pandora's box. You never know.
You should do it. When you listen to this podcast, you should open your DMs for like a day.
Yeah.
And just see.
See what happens.
And tweet hashtag my DMs are open.
I guess. Good luck.
See the minefield that you wade through. See what kind of people are following you. See who you need to block and mute. That's pretty much that. And that's the last piece of Valentine's advice that your boys are going to be able to give you today. We've taken enough of your time. So thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Remember to use the hashtag New Day Pod to keep yourself in the conversation on the socials, on the Twitters, on the Instagrams, all that good stuff. You know what? Matter of fact, on Facebook too. And you can tell your friends that they can listen to this podcast wherever they listen to their podcast. Just type in The New Day in the search bar and click the pink picture with the three black guys' faces on it. That's us. Subscribe. If you're listening on Apple, give us 5 stars because that algorithm can work in our favor. If it works in our favor, it works in yours. Thank you for listening. I am Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I am Kofi Kingston. And you can follow me at True Kofi on the Twitter and at The True Kofi on the Instagram, baby.
And I am at WWE Biggie on Twitter and on Instagram, but ain't nothing good going on in those places. Actually, I lied. There's something good going on right now. If you check, it's definitely on Twitter right now. But the nice part is we are still auctioning off all of our Royal Rumble gear, and the proceeds go to Food Link New York in Rochester. This is in honor of someone we love very much in John Huber, Big Brody, AKA Luke Harper. And we're going to keep doing that. It's going to take a while because we're just auctioning off one piece at a time. But the beautiful thing is we were able already to send $4,000 to Food Link New York. And that's just off of Kofi's rain jacket. So eventually we're going to get through all those pieces. And that's our way of honoring someone we love very, very much. And we'll continue to find ways to honor him and his memory. So make sure to check out my Twitter. And, you know, we'll keep posting updates on stuff that'll be sent on eBay. And do that. And I'm wondering if there's anything else. Also, Dan, Doodoo Dan, as we like to call him, he's hopped in and said, if you can please use hashtag New Day Gas Up, we will continue to gas you up. So make sure to do that as well.